بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا بني آدم، خذوا زينتكم عند كل مسجد وكلوا واشربوا ولا تسرفوا، إنه لا يحب المسرفين. وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: إن البذاذة من الإيمان. رواه أبو داود. صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم، ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. Dear respected listeners, honorable brothers, if we take a close look at the Muslim world today, one thing that stands out and that is evident and that hits you in the face is that there is this huge disparity between the wealthy community within the Muslim Ummah and those who are struggling to make ends meet. And unfortunately, this is ever growing. And there are many situations or many records that have been made of how the wealthy Muslim community spends their money. According to the Global Islamic Economic Record, in the year 2022, Muslims have spent on food, lifestyle, fashion, travel, and luxuries $2 trillion. This is the Muslims alone. And this amount only climbed in the years later. In 2024, that is last year, it had climbed to $2.8 trillion. And this is the category is lifestyle, fashion, travel, food, and luxuries. And this begs the question, where are we spending our money as a Muslim community? Where else could this money be utilized in a better way? For example, the most expensive handbags, the Hermes Birkin handbag, the entry price, the entry level price is $10,000. And then if you look at the price of one meal, one hot meal that can be a life-saving meal, the price is $0.43. So if we have to see, if we have to compare someone who spends the cash to buy one handbag, which is costing $10,000, and we were to fund with that same cash meals for people, we would be able to prepare 23,000 hot meals for the price of one handbag. What sacrifice does it take to not to have a designer label, not to have a specific handbag, to cut down on the cost of a luxury item and use that money for those people who need it most, for those who need it for basic necessities? If we look at the records, in Yemen, 17 million people daily do not know where their next meal is going to come from, if at all. So if we just take the price of that one handbag, the Hermes Birkin handbag, and we were to fund meals with that, we would be able to fund an entire primary school in Gaza with kids three times a day for an entire year, 23,000 meals. So sometimes we look at things and we think it's just a dollar, it's just a few rands, a few hundred, a few thousand. But those thousands could save lives if spent in the right way. So my main focus for today is where do we spend our money as Muslims, and the need and the importance to cut down. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and this is a hadith every one of us here knows, but we need this reminder time and again. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that the Muslim ummah is like one body. If any limb is in pain, the entire body is affected. And Ibn Hajar wrote under this hadith, the commentator, he said that those who do not feel the pain of other Muslims suffering is like a numb limb. So just as nerves would convey the pain to you and you'd know that this limb is suffering, if our iman does not have any nerve endings and it has become numb, that is the state that we reach, unfortunately. So we have to ask ourselves that when someone within the Muslim ummah at large is suffering, how do you justify? How do we justify buying designer labels, buying something more expensive, being extravagant, buying more than we need? So this is an important self-audit question we have to make every time we want to purchase something. That what if I, instead of purchasing this item, I bought something that doesn't have, or it's not from this brand, but serves the same purpose, and that gives me, and it saves me at least a few thousand rands, maybe that could be used to be sent to Gaza, or to Yemen, or to Syria, or one of these places where it's much more needed at this moment in time. In one hadith, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, and this is a hadith narrated by Bayhaqi, that a Muslim is not a true Muslim if he sleeps with his belly full and his neighbor is hungry. So if your neighbor is hungry and you are sleeping, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam is saying that that person is not a true mu'min. And the scholars have written that when it comes to neighbors, it's up to 40 houses. So we have to ask ourselves the question, let us do a self-audit at home and see 40 houses on each side. Is there anyone who could potentially be going to sleep hungry and not know when their next meal will come? And I'm sleeping with a full stomach? The Sahaba took this hadith so seriously that if a Sahabi had one date, he would cut it in half, he would break it in half and give it to one who is poor, to his neighbor. So this was the seriousness of the situation at that time. Now, I just want to capture a few images of our predecessors and show how, what type of simple lifestyles they lived despite having access to so much wealth. Starting with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam himself and the type of lifestyle that he led. Once Umar radiallahu anhu entered the resting chamber of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam and he saw that he was resting on the coarse fibers and a rough mat basically made of these coarse fibers and that had caused a mark, and according to some narrations it was a straw mat. It had caused a mark on the sides of the body of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Umar radiallahu anhu enters, he sees the sight and he starts weeping. And we know the tough temperament of Umar radiallahu anhu, despite that he starts weeping. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam asks him, why are you weeping? He said, look at Kisra and Qaisar. Those people are enjoying these silken couches and luxury palaces, and you are better than them. And this is not exactly his words, but this is what the message he was conveying, that you are the messenger of Allah, the best creation, and this is your condition. And what did Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam say to him? He said, I am just like a traveler in this world, a man who has come into this world. I will take rest under the shade of the tree and I will continue. That's how the world is like for me. And in another narration, the reply that Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave was, do you not know or do you not remember, Umar radiallahu an, that for us is the akhirah, this dunya is for them. And another hadith beautifully conveys this, where Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Ad-dunya sijnul mu'min wa jannatul kafir." It is the prison for the believer. It is a place of restrictions. Many youth ask, when you tell them that, yes, this is haram, this you can do, this is makruh, they say that it's so restrictive. But they don't realize that in every department there are restrictions. Why do we then have complaints here? If someone decides from today, I'll drive on the right-hand side of the road, and not because I want to be free. No one questions the restrictions that are placed on them from the government side, from the country side. They would wholeheartedly accept those things because they can see the benefit. They can see that driving on this side is safe. It's for the safety of the community. But when it comes to Islam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one who has designed the human being and created a manual for how the human being operates and made certain restrictions, that becomes the point of question. So the hadith says, "Ad-dunya sijnul mu'min." For a mu'min, you will always have to question yourself that this, when I'm going to buy this item or I'm going to spend in this department, is it the best decision I'm making? Will this be considered extravagance? And there are many levels of extravagance. Imam Qurtubi mentions that even a single coin spent in the disobedience of Allah is extravagance, and thousands of coins spent in the obedience of Allah in charity, etc., is not extravagance. So these are two boundary lines that Imam Qurtubi has outlined. So this is Umar radiallahu anhu, and he's weeping and he's asking Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In fact, if you look at the house of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it was made of mud bricks. It had a thatch roof. Inside was one straw mat. Next to it was a water skin to keep his water. Then there was a lamp or a candle for light and a few equipment for what he needed on a daily basis. That is it. And Ansari, I mean, that was at that time, that was considered simple also. Not according to us. At that time, there were more advanced levels of construction. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam opted for this. And he chose for this. And he used to always say that, and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for contentment for what he has. He used to say, "Allahumma qanni'ni bima razaqtani." Oh Allah, grant me contentment for what you have given me. This was his constant dua, and this is what he had. An Ansari woman came to him once and said, "Oh Rasulullah, I will make a bed for you." In fact, she prepared the bed and gave it to him. And out of courtesy, he accepted it. And he slept on the bed for one night. And the next morning, he noticed that because the bed was soft and comfortable, he had difficulty waking up. And he was disturbed by this fact that he had a slight difficulty waking up for salah. So he took the bed and he gave it back to the Ansari woman who gave it to him and said it's not suitable for him. So this was his level of simplicity. Any type of luxury that would creep into his life, which would encroach on his ibadah, and which would in any way take him even one step away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he had his priority straight, that would be eliminated instantly. And the biggest example is this bed. And we're not even being told, no one, it's not even, you know, if we ask the muftis of today's time, should we do such a thing, they won't even advise it. But we have taken this to certain levels which are definitely far away from the boundaries of extravagance. Let us look at Umar radiallahu anh himself. Umar radiallahu anh went, and there was a famine in Medina. Umar radiallahu anh, despite having access to meat and butter, he refused to eat. He said, "I will only have dried bread with oil or with vinegar so that I can taste what the Ummah is tasting." So from this we learn a very important concept that we should from time to time expose ourselves to what the Ummah faces on a daily basis. And this is one of the benefits written of fasting, that it teaches you, the social benefit, that it teaches you what those people go through who don't have access to food. Umar bin Abdul Aziz, he was one of the Khalifas of the Umayyad dynasty. When he became the Khalifa, the first thing he did, he went home and his wife was the sister of the previous Khalifa. So he went home, had a lot of gold, and he knew that all this gold that she has, that the Khalifa had given her, the previous Khalifa, is coming from the national treasury, the Baytul Mal. So he requested her to return all the gold to the Baytul Mal. And she was a pious and obedient wife, complied. If we ask our wife today to return anything, the only thing that will be returned is ourselves. I mean, this is how the condition that we have reached. So he made her return the gold. Then he started checking everything in his house. Anything that he did not need, also he returned. In fact, the government or the Khalifa at that time had a, as a special facility they would stay in, he gave that away also to the national treasury. He stayed in a simple house. And his children would wear simple clothing. They would recite the Quran. They understood deen well. And this is when he started seeing barakah. Barakah started raining down. And there was so much wealth, despite him himself having nothing. There was so much wealth in the Muslim community. They became so prosperous that the zakat collectors found difficulty in distributing zakat after collecting. They couldn't find people to give zakat because the wealthy in the community would cut down and help the poor. And that's how everyone was thriving. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has promised us, and this is a hadith found in Muslim, Sahih Muslim, that charity and sadaqah will never make you poor. And Ibn Hajar rahimahullah says that what does it mean? He said there are three possibilities. Number one, either Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will replace the wealth that you have given out to help someone in sadaqah, or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will alleviate any or stop any type of loss that would have befallen you, that would have costed you that wealth or more. So you are saved from a potential loss, from an accident or from some medical emergency. And the third is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives you unseen reward, such as simplicity, such as sufficiency, contentment, satisfaction. So someone who spends a lot in sadaqah thinks that he suddenly feels the sense of contentment. Where is it coming from? It's as a result of sadaqah. الشيطان يعيدكم الفقر. Shaitan promises you poverty. And every time someone wants to give sadaqah, shaitan is there to say, if you give sadaqah, it's going to decrease the bank balance. But Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is telling you, it will never make you poor. It will, يَمْحَقُ اللَّهُ الرِّبَى وَيُرْبِي. Your money will only increase. Your rizq will only increase. Maybe not in the way you see it. Maybe not in the form of a bank balance. Maybe in a different way. Maybe ilm is brought into your family. And there are many other ways. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the ability to spend our money wisely, to cut down on our luxuries, and to start living a simple life, and to emulate the simplicity that was found in the lives of the Sahaba, though many of them were rich and had access to wealth, and that which was found in the Tabi'een and those who followed. Wa akhiru da'wana and alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.
Say Jazakum Allah Ahsan al Jaza to Manana Anas Qasmi Sahib Damat Barakatuhum. Manana is one of the teachers and the ustads at Darul Ulum Zakaria. Together with that, alhamdulillah, since Manana has completed, he has also finished his teaching degree, alhamdulillah, studying all the time, learning and teaching, alhamdulillah, in this environment from the time that he has completed in 2021. May Allah bless Manana and his knowledge, inshallah, and continue to use him for the service of deen, inshallah. Once again, we say Jazakum Allah Ahsan al Jaza. And I think whatever my announcements were, Walana had so beautifully encapsulated it by mentioning that inshallah our sadaqah and our charity is what we are investing for the akhirah. Whatever we spend here, we are going to leave it behind. Immaterial of whether we buy an expensive item or a cheap item, one day we'll have to leave it behind. It's not going to come with us. But what will definitely come with us as an investment is whatever we invest in the akhirah. And alhamdulillah, our collection for our masjid will be taking place today. As brothers can see, there's renovations also taking place. This is our investment. Together with that also, we have a separate box that is marked as sadaqah and lillah. So inshallah, as collectively together, if we will pull together our monies, then inshallah, with the sadaqah that you are giving in these boxes, hampers will be made and they will be distributed to those people that are in need of it. So in other words, we are saying this is a controlled way of collecting the money. We are asking the brothers, so collectively, so individually, we are asking you not to give, but rather let us pool our money collectively together, and inshallah, these monies will then be used, as Maulana mentioned, to help the poor, to inshallah make up the hampers and distribute it to the various poor people in our area that are vetted and that are checked, inshallah, and this money will then be given to them, and these hampers will be given to them. So we request brothers, inshallah, to humbly donate, and inshallah, to donate generously to the cause of the masjid, and to the sadaqah and the hampers, inshallah, and together, inshallah, as Maulana mentioned, we can grow as an ummah together, inshallah. May Allah give us the understanding. Wa ma'alayna illa Allah.
الحمد لله، الحمد لله الكريم الشكور الحليم الصبور الذي خلق الموت والحياة ليبلوكم أيكم أحسن عملا وهو العزيز الغفور. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله، وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله ومصطفاه المبعوث بالهدى والرحمة والنور. أما بعد، عباد الله، أوصي نفسي وإياكم بتقوى الله، واتقوا يوما ترجعون فيه إلى الله، ثم توفى كل نفس ما كسبت وهم لا يظلمون. اليوم عمل ولا حساب، وغدا حساب ولا عمل. الدنيا أمد قليل، والآخرة أبد طويل. يا ابن آدم، إنما أنت أيام، كلما ذهب يوم ذهب بعضك. أيها المسلم، كن ممن يبيت وهو يذكر، ويصبح وهمه أن يشكر، يبيت حذرا من الغفلة، ويصبح فرحا لما أصاب من الفضل والرحمة. لا يعمل بشيء من الخير رياء، ولا يدع شيئا منه حياء. يخلو ليغنم، ويخالط ليعلم. مجالس الذكر مع الفقراء أحب إليه من مجالس اللغو مع الأغنياء. ولا تكن ممن يتمنى المغفرة ويعمل في المعصية، طال عليه الأمل ففتر، وطال عليه الأمد فاغتر. إن أعطي لم يشكر، وإن ابتلي لم يصبر. يتكلف ما لم يؤمر، ويضيع ما هو أكبر. يحب الصالحين ولا يعمل عملهم، ويبغض المسيئين وهو أحدهم. إن حدث حلف، وإن حلف حنث، وإن وعظ كلح. لا ينصت فيسلم، ولا يتكلم بما يعلم. أيها الإخوة، اذكروا نعم الله عليكم لتشكروا، واعلموا بما علمتم لتتقوا، وسددوا وقاربوا وأبشروا. وكم من فتى يمسي ويصبح آمنا، وقد نسجت أكفانه وهو لا يدري. كل نفس ذائقة الموت، وإنما توفون أجوركم يوم القيامة، فمن زحزح عن النار وأدخل الجنة فقد فاز، وما الحياة الدنيا إلا متاع الغرور. يا من بدنياه اشتغل، وغره طول الأمل. الموت يأتي بغتة، والقبر صندوق العمل. يا من يذنب ولا يتوب، ويصر على تضييع الفرائض ولا يؤوب. كم كتبت عليك ذنوب، ذهبت لذتها وبقي حسابها. تأكل الحرام وتقطع الأرحام، يدعوك القرآن إلى صلاحك ولا تتوب، وتسمع مواعظ الله ولا تؤوب. فلا صدق ولا صلى، ولكن كذب وتولى، ثم ذهب إلى أهله يتمطى. أولى لك فأولى، ثم أولى لك فأولى. بارك الله لي ولكم في القرآن العظيم، ونفعني وإياكم بما فيه من الآي والذكر الحكيم. أقول قولي هذا، وأستغفر الله العظيم الجليل لي ولكم ولكافة المسلمين والمسلمات من كل الذنوب والخطيئات، فاستغفروه وتوبوا إليه، إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. الحمد لله، الحمد لله، نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه، ونعوذ بالله تعالى من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له، ومن يضلله فلا هادي له. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدًا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي، يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل وسلم وزد وبارك وترحم على سيدنا محمد وعلى أزواجه وذريته. قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: أرحم أمتي بأمتي أبو بكر، وأشدهم في أمر الله عمر، وأصدقهم حياء عثمان، وأقضاهم علي، وفاطمة سيدة نساء أهل الجنة، والحسن والحسين سيدا شباب أهل الجنة، وحمزة أسد الله وأسد المغفر للعباس وولده، مغفرة ظاهرة وباطنة لا تغادر ذنبا. الله الله في أصحابي، لا تتخذهم غرضا من بعدي، فمن أحبهم فبحبي أحبهم، ومن أبغضهم فببغضي أبغضهم، وخير أمتي قرني، ثم الذين يلونهم، ثم الذين يلونهم. اللهم أيد الإسلام وأنصاره، وأذل الشرك وأشراره. اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى، واجعل آخرتنا خيرا من الأولى. اللهم انصر من نصر دين محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم واجعلنا منهم، واخذل من خذل دين محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ولا تجعلنا معهم. اللهم اغفر لنا وللمؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات، وألف بين قلوبهم، وأصلح ذات بينهم، وانصرهم على عدوك وعدوهم. اللهم لعن الكفرة الذين يجحدون آياتك، ويكذبون رسلك، ويقاتلون أولياءك. اللهم خالف بين كلمتهم، وزلزل أقدامهم، وشتت شملهم، وأيتم أولادهم، ومزق جمعهم، وأنزل بهم بأسك الذي لا ترده عن القوم المجرمين. عباد الله رحمكم الله، إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى، وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي، يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. فاذكروني أذكركم، واشكروا لي ولا تكفرون. الله أكبر. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الرحمن الرحيم، مالك يوم الدين، إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين، اهدنا الصراط المستقيم، صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. سبح اسم ربك الأعلى الذي خلق فسوى، والذي قدر فهدى، والذي أخرج المرعى فجعله غثاء أحوى. سنقرئك فلا تنسى إلا ما شاء الله، إنه يعلم الجهر وما يخفى. ونيسرك لليسرى فذكر إن نفعت الذكرى. سيذكر من يخشى ويتجنبها الأشقى الذي يصلى النار الكبرى، ثم لا يموت فيها ولا يحيا. قد أفلح من تزكى وذكر اسم ربه فصلى، بل تؤثرون الحياة الدنيا والآخرة خير وأبقى إن هذا لفي الصحف الأولى صحف إبراهيم وموسى. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. هل أتاك حديث الغاشية وجوه يومئذ خاشعة عاملة ناصبة تصلى نارا حامية تسقى من عين آنية ليس لهم طعام إلا من ضريع لا يسمن ولا يغني من جوع وجوه يومئذ ناعمة لسعيها راضية في جنة عالية لا تسمع فيها لاغية فيها عين جارية فيها سرر مصفوفة وأكواب موضوعة ونمارق مصفوفة وزرابي مبثوثة أفلا ينظرون إلى الإبل كيف خلقت وإلى السماء كيف رفعت وإلى الجبال كيف نصبت وإلى الأرض كيف سطحت فذكر إنما أنت مذكر لست عليهم بمسيطر إلا من تولى وكفر فيعذبه الله العذاب الأكبر إن إلينا إيابهم ثم إن علينا حسابهم. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب. اللهم حبب إلينا الإيمان وزينه في قلوبنا وكره إلينا الكفر والفسوق والعصيان واجعلنا من الراشدين. اللهم اقسم لنا من خشيتك ما تحول به بيننا وبين معاصيك ومن طاعتك ما تبلغنا به جنتك ومن اليقين ما تهون به علينا مصائب الدنيا ومتعنا بأسماعنا وأبصارنا وقواتنا أبدا ما أبقيتنا واجعل الوارث منا واجعل ثأرنا على من ظلمنا وانصرنا على من عادانا ولا تجعل مصيبتنا في ديننا ولا تجعل الدنيا أكبر همنا ولا مبلغ علمنا ولا غاية رغبتنا ولا تسلط علينا بذنوبنا من لا يخافك فينا ولا يرحمنا. اللهم إنا نسألك من خير ما سألك منه نبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ونعوذ بك من شر ما استعاذك منه نبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. أنت المستعان وعليك البلاغ ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين.